Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Muskism: A Guide for the Perplexed is a nonfiction analysis of Elon Musk and the political economy that the authors argue his rise represents. Written by historian Quinn Slobodian and technology writer Ben Tarnoff, the book is not a biography in the usual sense. Instead, it treats Musk as a public figure through whom a broader system can be understood, a mode of capitalism that mixes state power, private ownership, technological futurism, and social control. The book places Musk in a wider historical frame by comparing Muskism to Fordism, suggesting that just as Fordism helped define the industrial economy of the 20th century, Muskism may help define the platform-driven and subsidy-dependent economy of the 21st. Its purpose is to clarify how Musk's companies, rhetoric, and influence fit into a larger pattern of power, dependence, and ideological contradiction. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Musk as a system, not just a celebrity entrepreneur. The book's central move is to stop treating Elon Musk as a personality puzzle and instead read him as the visible face of a larger structure. That structure, which the authors call Muskism, is presented as a political-economic logic rather than a coherent personal philosophy. This matters because public discussion often focuses on Musk's erratic statements or provocative behavior, which can obscure the institutional pattern behind them. Slobodian and Tarnoff argue that Musk's influence is best understood through the systems he participates in and shapes subsidies, state contracts, markets, media platforms, and infrastructure. By shifting the lens from character to structure, the book makes a broader point about modern power. It suggests that individual eccentricity can coexist with, and even help mask, highly organized forms of dependence and control. In that sense, Musk is treated less as an exception than as a symptom of a new capitalist order that uses personality to hide systemic continuity. Secondly, freedom rhetoric built on dependence and subsidy. A major theme in the book is the contradiction between Musk's language of freedom and the material dependence of his businesses on public support and institutional power. The authors emphasize that Muskism sells autonomy, disruption, and self-reliance, but the reality is often the opposite. Electric vehicles benefit from subsidies and regulatory frameworks, space technologies depend on government contracts, and digital platforms gain power through network effects and labor performed by users. This is not presented as a minor inconsistency, but as the core operating logic of the system. Muskism can promise independence for some, while deepening vulnerability for others, especially those who depend on the infrastructure it controls. The book uses this contradiction to show how contemporary capitalism can recast reliance on the state as entrepreneurial genius. That framing helps readers see that modern tech power is not simply about private innovation. It is about capturing public resources, private gains, and social legitimacy while maintaining the language of liberation. Thirdly, how crisis language justifies a less human future. The authors argue that Muskism relies heavily on crisis rhetoric. It speaks in the register of emergency, survival, and civilizational struggle to normalize radical restructuring of work, social life, and political authority. Rather than promising a more equal future, this logic imagines a future in which humans are less central to production and more closely fused with machine platforms and automated systems. The book is especially interested in how this future is packaged as necessary rather than optional. If the world is always on the edge of collapse, then extraordinary concentration of power can be defended as realism. This allows a figure like Musk to portray technological domination as the only path forward. The result is a political imagination in which machine integration, data extraction, and digital dependency are framed as progress even when they erode autonomy. The book's analysis of crisis language is important because it shows that ideology does not always appear as a neat doctrine. Sometimes it works through urgency, inevitability, and fear, making domination feel like adaptation. Fourthly, a post-liberal order that combines futurism with hierarchy. Another key argument is that Muskism is not simply progressive or reactionary, but a hybrid of both. It is futurist in its fascination with space travel, artificial intelligence, automation, and civilizational expansion. Yet it also reinforces older hierarchies around exclusion, labor discipline, and who is allowed to belong to the future. The book highlights this tension by describing Muskism as pro-natalist but anti-immigrant, and by showing how a language of universal human advancement can coexist with selective access and intensified inequality. This combination is what makes the concept useful. It helps explain why a movement or business culture can sound visionary while still reproducing social stratification. The authors connect this to the broader post-liberal moment, in which old liberal promises of openness and autonomy give way to systems that are more hierarchical, more nationalist, and more obedient to concentrated power. Muskism is therefore not just a technology story. It is a story about how future-oriented language can be used to legitimate exclusion in the present. Lastly, why the Fordism comparison matters for political economy. The comparison to Fordism gives the book its historical and analytical ambition. Fordism is widely used as shorthand for the industrial order of the 20th century mass production, standardized systems, labor coordination, and a particular relationship between capital, the state, and social welfare. By proposing Muskism as a successor concept, the authors are not claiming that Musk personally invented a new age. They are suggesting that his businesses and worldview reveal a broader arrangement of power that may define the 21st century. This is useful because it places Musk inside a larger historical pattern rather than treating him as an isolated disruptor. The comparison also clarifies what has changed. Where Fordism helped support a welfare state and mass employment, Muskism appears to depend on monopoly-like control, platform governance, and the privatization of future infrastructure. The book's historical framing gives readers a way to think about technological capitalism beyond headlines. It invites them to ask what kind of social order is being built, who benefits from it, and what kind of dependency it creates. In conclusion, this book will be most valuable for readers who want to understand Elon Musk as a political and economic phenomenon rather than as a collection of media controversies. It is especially relevant for students of political economy, technology policy, critical theory, media studies, and contemporary capitalism. Readers looking for a conventional biography may find the approach indirect, but those interested in how power actually operates in the digital age will get a sharper framework. The main benefit of the book is conceptual clarity. It gives a name to a pattern that is often discussed only in fragments, linking subsidies, platform power, state partnership, an ideological spectacle into one interpretation. What sets it apart from many books about Musk is that it does not mainly try to explain his psychology or forecast his next move. Instead, it asks what his success reveals about the structure of the present. That makes it useful not only for understanding Musk, but also for understanding how a new kind of tech-centered capitalism can normalize dependence while still selling freedom, innovation, and inevitability. If you would like to support Quinn Slobodian, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.